A signal? All right, cool. I'm Wendell. I'm living loved by God, and that's becoming tricky of late. I'm not doing a very good job of that. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food and work and control. I've had issues with porn, alcohol, rage, panic, and depression. Our boy's coming home. Yeah. He didn't want me to buy this hat because he wants to forget everything about Iowa. But I said, no, you were going to look back on these years you spent there and you're going to be thankful for them someday. So I said, we're going to buy a little something to remind us of your time in Iowa. So he asked me, he said, when I come home, can I play in the band? I said, maybe. Maybe if you're good. So we're going to get one of our drummers back, which is cool, and whatever else he wants to play. Yeah, yeah, whatever else he wants to play. Probably. So I'm going to wind up, I think we're going to wind up tonight on partnering with God. We started out like almost a month ago, and we for those of you who weren't there, let me lay the groundwork as fast as I can. But we're focused on what Jesus promised at the last of the Gospel of John. And he did it four different times. And John recorded it. Jesus said, it's better that I go away, because if I do, I'm going to send. And the Greek word there is paraclete. I'm going as fast as I can here. The Greek word is paraclete, because if I go again, then I will send the paraclete. The paraclete is the Holy Spirit. And the definition of that word paraclete is one who comes alongside. And I've never really dug into that until here lately. And I realized that he described the Spirit of God Almighty, who created the universe, is going to come and dwell in the Holy Spirit. And that is going to come and walk alongside me as my partner. He's not going to walk in front of me and tap his toes and nation rate, waiting for me to catch up. He's also not going to walk behind me with a cattle prod or a whip. Come on, dude. He's going to walk beside me. So he's going to partner. Stop when I stop and go when I go, and we're going to do this together. working now? Okay, well, it just turned itself off. It's been off for a while? Oh, well. I'd really like this to be podcasted, y'all. I don't know what we can do to make it work. Anyway, as long as this is on, I'm going to keep going. So, be that as it may, as I've already told you, I don't live what I'm saying all the time. Every once in a while, I'll have touches of it, but I don't live there. But I read a book a long, long time ago in college. The name of the book was Ideas Have Consequences. And I think I've talked about it a time or two in here. It's by a guy named Richard Weaver. And the whole concept of the book is that a lot of times before something takes hold and you begin to live as if it's true, you have to have the initial idea. And those ideas do have consequences. They do produce something. If you mull them around, if you talk about them, if you explore them, if you share them in community, then these ideas begin to grow again. These ideas begin to have consequences. They become real life. They become where we live. So I'm just going to keep exploring the ideas with you knowing this ain't who I am. I'm not there, but I want to be like crazy. And maybe we can get there together. How about? Maybe we can get there together, because I think that's a huge component, is to do it together. So I want to say three things as quickly as I can, because we want to have plenty of time for communion. So I want to say three things about partnering with a non-codependent God. Just does. Is it picking up? Hello, hello. Check 1, 2. People have a great time listening to this podcast. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. All right, we're good now. All right, so, sorry about all this technical stuff. Yeah, that one decides to work all of a sudden. Yeah. Okay, so we're talking about partnering with God, and I realized that especially coming out of the last study we just did, which was Dance Moves, which is all about codependency, I realized that my part I play in the partnership is I am like uber codependent. I'm codependent on this. But I'm partnering with a God who is absolutely not codependent. So how's this dance going to work? If I'm the uber, I'm not kind of codependent, I'm like really codependent. And so I'm uber codependent, non-codependent, and we're going to do this dance. So we're going to explore this tonight just in three places real quick. One is that if I'm going to partner with a non-codependent God, we're going to become a we, right? It's no longer me because we're in a partnership, so it's a we or an us. So we, I'm not just saying me, we no longer feel the need for attention and approval. We no longer are crushed by ridicule or criticism. So, here's the picture. So we walk into a room full of people. Hopefully you feel safe here when you walk into this room. But there are some rooms you walk into and you instantly have that feeling of, it kind of hits you when you walk in. Ooh, I don't know that I feel really safe here because I think people are looking at me. I think people are critiquing me. I think some people here may have it out for me. I've got a history with some of these people, don't really want to talk to them. How am I going to avoid them? Where are the exits? Where are the safe chairs to sit in? Who are those safe little clusters of people to talk with? You know. So we go into this with all kinds of ego protection in mind. We go into the situation thinking, how do I take care of myself here? I go into there as me. Well, all of a sudden, I'm going in there with my partner. I'm going in there with the Holy Spirit as my partner. And so in reality, I'm not saying I got this down, but if we practice this, if this is our new reality, when we walk into these situations, job interview, classroom, party, bar, wherever you go, you're walking into a group of people, you walk in there as a we. So when you're walking with God as your partner, God doesn't need attention or approval. He doesn't need that. And God is not crushed by ridicule or critique. So your partner is walking in there completely and absolutely confident in who he is and what he does and what he brings to the table. And you walk in there arm in arm with him. It changes everything. It changes the way you approach these social settings that seem to normally trigger you. Because I don't have anything to prove anymore. Because I'm not a me anymore. I'm a we. And he doesn't have anything to prove, and so I guess I don't either. So I go in there with nothing to prove, nothing to try to gain, nothing to try to defend, nothing at all. I go in there confident, not in myself, but in us. I'm confident in this partnership. And people say things, they always do, and it's like, you know, you're throwing that at me, but you're hitting both of us, and he's not fazed by it. So I guess I'm not either. I can't say I'm there. Can anybody here say they're there? I don't know that we're there. But think about it. Think about that as you go in as a we. You know, pick the most powerful, famous person that you like the most in the world. Just pick whoever you want to pick. A king, a queen, a president, a whatever you want to pick. And walk into the room with them. And you think, okay, if people are going to throw stuff at you, they're going to throw it at both of you. They're not fazed. It doesn't bother them at all. And they don't seem to be seeking attention or praise or approval. So there's something that happens to my ego when I go from an I to a we. There's something that happens to the ego. It's not easily puffed up and it's not easily crushed. Because isn't that what happens to our ego? We either get big with it or we get crushed with it. So as a we, that doesn't happen. Here's the second thing. Day-to-day becomes more about cooperation and less about control. We've talked over and over in here that the two biggies that we want as people is we want safety and we want comfort. From day one, we want to feel safe and we want to feel comfortable. That's basic human. That's where we live. A lot of other frills and bells and whistles that get added onto that. But from the get-go all the way through, those are the two things that we look for in life. I want to feel safe, and I want to feel comfortable. So what makes me feel unsafe? Bullies, manipulators, deceivers, the unknown. You could add to the list. What makes you feel unsafe? Everybody's got something that makes you feel unsafe. What makes me feel comfortable? You know, I want to feel comfortable. What makes me feel comfortable? I want you to like me. I would just soon have a minimum of physical pain. In my case, I want to be full. That's my eating issue. I want to be full. This doesn't matter a hoot to me, obviously. But to some people, I want to be fashionable. You know, I want to present myself well. You look at me and you say, yeah, you got a ways to go there, dude. I'm setting a trend. Thank you very much. You can. Everybody has to fill out their own list on those two things. I want to feel safe. What makes you feel unsafe? And I want to feel comfortable. What makes you feel comfortable? So you have to fill that out. But when you think about it, our partner is not. None of those face him. Neither one of those face him. He doesn't dodge danger or pain. Jesus walked straight into the most awkward, dangerous, risky situation. He did it routinely. And it just didn't faze him. And we want to say he was so courageous, but I think the fact of the matter is he was just so confident in who he was. And he was so non-codependent. I really am not craving your approval. I'm really not needing you to like me. I don't need those things. Because I'm completely confident in who I am. So I partner with him, his spirit. I partner with him. And again, I face things that feel unsafe or uncomfortable. And he's saying, this is not that big a deal, you know. So my partner is facing it one way and I'm facing it another. But I'm arm in arm with him. You know, we negotiate these situations arm in arm, not. Do you get the coolness of one who comes alongside? He's not going in the door first and saying, come on in, it's safe. And he's not standing beside us or behind us and kicking us and saying, you big coward, get in there. He stands at the door with us and says, I'll walk with you. We'll negotiate this together. So when we're feeling unsafe or feeling uncomfortable, we turn to our partner. Are you feeling this? And he says, no, but let's talk about it. So see, we have this. Are you starting to get the feel of the one who comes alongside? He's right here. I go through the door and I say, what about this? I don't have to look for him in the room. He's right here. So we negotiate. We talk. Okay, so here's the very last thing. What time is that? I can't see with my glasses off. 6:37, is that right? Okay, we're good. So we want to talk about the last thing that we face. And you notice we're going over a lot of review of what we talk about in Pathway all the time. But I wanted to see how they fit with a non-codependent partner. How do we face these things with a non-codependent partner? So here we go with the old primal brain. Primal lizard brain. Remember what that is? Fight or flight. Fight or flight. You faced with any kind of threat, it's fight or flight. You ball up your fist, you go at them, or you run like crazy. That's the primal brain kicking in. And some of us have a little of both. Some of us are primarily fighters. Some of us are primarily flighters. But that's just who we are. So we bring both of these tendencies to the partnership. And so whereas we're facing life that doesn't go the way we want it to, or we're facing life that questions us or critiques us or threatens us or pushes us or demands us or whatever it is, whatever the tension is, and that primal brain wants to kick in. And we either want to attack, we want to formulate a plan and attack, or we want to curl up in a ball and hide, or we just want to hightail it to the hills. That's our instinct. And here we are standing with a God who is absolutely unfazed. He's not flinching by all of this. But did you see what happened? Did you see what they said? Do you understand what they could do to me? And he looks at us and he says, no, it's an us now. It's not a you, it's an us now. So when they threaten, when they buffalo, when they blow, when they, you know, posture and they do all this stuff, it's not to you, it's to us. And so I made a list. I don't know if they're potent to you, but I'm going to read it because to me it spoke to me. So I want you to think about this God who is our partner. His spirit is our partner, and he walks arm in arm with us into the room. He walks arm in arm with us down the road. He, when we wake up in the morning and we roll over on the correct side of the bed, Nami. We roll over and look, and there he is, our partner. He's there. He's saying, I've been here all night. Have not left you. I'm here. We're ready to start the day. Let's start the day. I want us to get this picture of this partner. And I want us to see all the things that our partner does not do. Our partner does not wring his hands in panic. Yeah, but I mean, this is pretty serious. I mean, this is for all the beans. Our partner does not wring his hands in panic. Our partner does not argue with those who criticize or hate him. He doesn't have to. I've always thought it intriguing that religious people think it's their job to defend God. Poor God. Poor little God. He needs us to defend him. Because without us, he'd be done. You know, he couldn't handle it. And I look at it now and I think, I was there. I was one who thought I had to defend God. Our partner doesn't argue or fight or bicker with those who criticize or hate him. He doesn't have to. He's completely and absolutely confident in who he is. God, or our partner, doesn't avoid the awkward. Buddy, I do. Don't you? I mean, you show me some awkward and I can hit the door. I don't fight awkward, I run. I fight some things, but when awkward, I'm a flighter. And I think our God, look at the awkward situations that Jesus put himself in over and over and over. The woman at the well, we've heard that story so many times. That was an awkward situation. A Jewish rabbi, man, sitting down at a well with a Samaritan half-breed woman, promiscuous at that. So awkward. He never batted an eye. Over and over, he comes up to this posse of people who are fixing to stone a prostitute or a lady who was caught in the act. He's the calmest person in the bunch. He's completely collected and good with where he's at. And I love the thoughts of what is awkward. Awkward's, you feel awkward because you don't know what to say or do, right? I mean, that's me. That's why it's awkward. It's because it's like, I don't know what to do here. You just look over at your partner and say, I don't know what to do here. And he says, I do. How about you just stand here for a minute? How about you just be present? Because he is so collected that you look at this awkward, you think, you know, somehow I think this is going to be okay. Somehow I think there's going to be an outcome here that I never saw coming. Just because of that, of his confidence. So our partner doesn't avoid awkward. Our partner doesn't pout when he gets left out or ignored. Think about that. I mean, think of how many times you've gone through a good part of the day. I mean, Nami described he had a rough day Friday. How many people have gone through a day and you've never hardly once thought about God all day long? The one who gives you breath, the one who, I mean, literally gives you thoughts and feelings and everything else, and you get to the end of the day and you think, I haven't thought about God once all day long. I mean, and then we kind of feel guilty because somehow maybe we made him pout or made him feel bad. And I think our partner's like, I've been with you the whole time. You haven't thought about me, but I've been here all the time, every step. We have a partner who doesn't pout when he gets left out or ignored. We have a partner who doesn't have to defend any territory. It's like when we said, when people criticize God, he doesn't fight back. He doesn't have to fight back. He doesn't have any territory to defend. He owns it all anyway. Go ahead and threaten me if you'd like. God's, I mean, that sounds funny. Shake your little finger at God. He says, oh, okay. You know, what are you going to do with that? Well, I'm going to shake it some more. Well, you just keep shaking it. So we have a God who doesn't have terror. He's not scared. We have a partner who doesn't have some kind of point that he has to prove. He doesn't have some kind of image that he has to maintain. He doesn't need to be liked. We've already said that. God's just, he's a piece of work. When you stop and think about what he's like, take him out of religion, take him out of the Bible, which you can't really do because that's where we find out about him. But put him here in the room with us. That's the best way to say it. Put him here in the room and you just stand there and you think, wow, really? I knew you were cool, but when we start breaking it down this way, it's like, I didn't know you were this cool, that you were that calm under pressure and that even and that steady and that confident of yourself. I mean, it's just, and I'm arm in arm with this guy. I'm arm in arm. I mean, if you want to push it to extreme, our partner isn't afraid to suffer. He's not afraid to be abused and he's not afraid to die. We've been there and done that. You know, you think about that. So we face these things, catastrophic things in life. He says, dude, I've already been there. I know what this is. This is not, none of this is new to me. Some of this list is redundant. We have a partner who doesn't get bent out of shape just because we do. Thank goodness. We have a partner who doesn't expect us to be anything but human. We have a partner who enjoys being who he is, even when we don't. Even when God doesn't do what we want him to do, he still enjoys being God. Even when he doesn't get good ratings in the polls, he's not going to compromise and become something else so he can be popular. He's just going to be God because he enjoys being who he is. So when we get to the end of this, this whole partnership idea is not my idea. in case you think it's not my idea, this was God's idea. If I'm reading John correctly, God sent Jesus. That's not my idea. God sent Jesus. Jesus, when he got to the end of his ministry, said to his disciples, I am going to send the Comforter. That was not the disciples' idea. That was Jesus' idea. And this partner, I mean, he described him as a partner. This partner comes. This is God's initiative. This is God's idea. So God initiated this partnership. And what was he thinking? He knew what he was getting into. If you have to be qualified on this end to be a partner, who here would raise their hand and say, I'm qualified. I can do this. I mean, I'm sitting on my hands. I'm thinking, no, I'm not qualified. So evidently it's set up some other way than two qualified partners. We have one qualified partner knowing that he's signing up with a bunch of unqualified partners. Untested, unproven, uncertified. We have no badge. We have no diploma in partnershiping. We don't have it. We suck at being partners. God knew that, and he initiated it anyway. He said, I know what I'm getting into, and I want, this is what I want. This is what I want to get into. So I get to the end of, you remember what I said when I started out, that I don't know how to live this yet. I'm struggling to know how to live this yet. Maybe I don't need to know how to live it. Maybe that's not what's important. Maybe it's not the knowing how to live it, it's just the willingness to sign up for it. Of just saying, now I don't know what's going on, and God says, okay, I do. I got it. But I don't know the part I play. It's okay. We'll find that out as you go along. You don't have to go to class. You don't have to read a book. You don't have to earn some kind of certification. All you got to do is just sign up for it. You just say, yeah, I'll be your partner. I won't make a real good one. He says, I know. I already know that. This is my idea, not yours. I'm calling you. You're not calling me. Would you like to be my partner? Would you like to do life together? And so as messed up as we are, as hesitant as we are, as clumsy as we are, God says, I'm really good with that. I knew that when I made you. I knew that the whole way through the Old Testament. I knew it all the way through the New Testament. And I know it today. I know what I'm getting into. Do you want to be my partner? Do you want to partner with me? And so our place is not to learn how to be a good partner, I think. Our place is to simply sign up. And it's on-the-job training as we go along with it. And I, for one, I want to sign up because I am so tired of trying to face this poop in my head on my own. I'm just tired of it. I'm done with it. And so I think if I can partner with somebody, and I mean Jesus said he will be in you. So if I can partner with somebody who will be inside of me and know how to deal with this stuff in my head and know how to, these voices from the past, and there's just, if he knows how to negotiate that, why in the world would I not want him inside me? Why in the world would I not want to partner with him? And I don't know how it's going to work. You shove the paper in front of me, I'll sign it. However it works, you know, I'm all down with this because I'm tired of the way it's been. So we're not doing chips tonight. If we were, I'd get a desire token because I'm ready for a new way. Maybe it's really good we're having communion because we're going to actually take inside of us. We're going to take the bread and the wine. We're going to take Jesus inside of us. They're very symbolic. All right.